Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms. When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Ken is away. Two rounds of the Moist Line coming up next hour. And now we're 5 minutes into the flex alert.
Are you flexing?
Yeah. Unplug your electric car right now. All right? Don't be sucking up all that unnecessary energy. That's what the governor says. Gas cars are going to get banned and electric vehicles can't be charged. Just go out there. It's 110. Walk. Stop complaining. Don't bitch. I've been watching... boy, almost anything will entertain me. If you go to caiso.com, that's Cal ISO, but it's caiso.com on the website, it'll tell you what the current capacity of electricity is and how much we're using. And right now we are using 45,267 megawatts. And we have a capacity of about 53,000. And then there's an extra 3,000 in reserve. So 53 plus 3, we actually have 56,000 that we could eventually tap into. So we're doing all right. But we're still in this state of emergency. We're still in this flexor alert where you're not supposed to plug in your electric car. Got to jack up your air conditioning. Not use electric stove. Can't use your laundry. Can't live. Don't eat. Don't wash. Don't drive. Just sit there and sweat naked on your sofa. California Globe had a story Evan Simon wrote today. And it's funny how this California Globe is one of these somewhat subversive news sites that prints the truth about Newsom, you know, doesn't oil and grease him up the way the El Segundo Times does. And what they have noticed, because there was a flurry of legislation and executive orders signed in the last few days, that Newsom signed an executive order to ramp up electrical resources because of the tight situation that we're in with energy and that he's in since he wants to be president. So the headlines were about some of his green initiatives, you know, all their goals to be carbon free by 2045, blah, 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 right? All the wet dream stuff. But says in the California Globe that green energy construction has fallen way off pace. With all the fossil fuel plant closures and other energy sources being planned to phase out, Newsom has been forced to do a U-turn on many policies. And the big one is, and this is big, the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant, which they announced a 5-year extension. They were dead set on closing that thing. And that at times gives you up to 9% of California's energy. Now, clearly we lose 9%, we're cooked, we're done. It'll be many blackouts. So, look, do you know how great nuclear power would be? It is entirely clean power when it comes to greenhouse gases. You don't get a single wisp of greenhouse gas coming out of nuclear energy. It is the cleanest energy out there. And because nuclear plants run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's not like wind and solar. Because, I mean, I'm looking at a graph right now which shows when our energy capacity goes down. It starts sliding down rapidly at sunset because we lose all that solar power being pumped in from the desert. Wind is the same issue. Very unreliable. Michael Schellenberger, who we had on the show a couple of days ago, and I've been periodically quoting, he just put out dozens of tweets the last few days. He was an environmental activist and still has an environmental organization, and he used to be very progressive. And then he suddenly realized what the progressives have been demanding and doing is suicidal for our society. You can't sustain this. It's solar and wind are unreliable. Nuclear, however, will go on forever and does not harm the atmosphere with greenhouse gases at all. And he thinks a rational, intelligent society would be building nuclear plants. And if you really want everybody to drive an electric car, you must build nuclear plants, and a lot of them. And he wrote in a long series of tweets, in order for California to have sufficient electricity to power 30 million electrical vehicles, it would need to build 20 new full-size nuclear plants the size of the plants that the state has been shutting down. Tough to do with solar since people want to recharge at night. Oh, to me, that was one of the most devastating two-sentence tweets I've ever seen. Because they're telling us to recharge at night. We only have 500,000 electrical vehicles right now, and you're being told, do it after 9 o'clock. Do it after 11 o'clock. Well, if everybody was to end up with an electric car in the state, you'd end up with 60 times the number of cars we have now. 60 times. Which means you'd need 20 nuclear power plants. Except they've ruled out nuclear plants in Sacramento, and solar power doesn't work at night. So how's this going to fly? Does anybody think this through? If they actually achieved their transformation and everybody was driving an electric car, but there's reduced power at night because there's no solar, and you've closed all the nuclear plants, and you want to close the natural gas plants, and you don't want to touch coal, and the hydroelectric plants, what little we get from them, are diminished because of the drought, where are we going to go here? I mean, it's such crazy land stuff. Because as he says, to produce the same amount of electricity from solar would require 379 times the land area compared to what solar takes up now. So take all the land, and there's a lot of land out there in the desert where they have endless solar panels, we would need 379 times that amount of land. Let's look at wind turbines. And the wind is unreliable too. You would need 421 times more land just for the wind. 379 times just for the solar, 421 times just for the wind. And he writes, that's simply not going to happen because the projects would kill so many threatened birds and desert tortoises that they'd risk extinction. So there's no way out of this unless we use the traditional methods of generating power until there's massive technological advances that do not exist right now. And he also put out a tweet saying that Newsom has ordered one of the state's dirtiest jet fuel burning plants to keep operated. Jet fuel it runs on. Well, that's a lot of global warming gas going into the air. He promised to close it 3 years ago. There's so much stuff he's doing the 180 on. He doesn't talk about it much. But he's doing it because we're living on the edge. On the edge of a complete blackout. More coming up, John and Ken show, KFI. We've been talking about shortage of electricity and how Gavin Newsom has done a 180. He's done a 180 on a number of environmental executive orders as well. For this week, up until September 7th, waste discharge limits from thermal power plants are going to be suspended. Air quality limits and fuel restrictions suspended. Emergency generators are going to come online. Personal portable generators. All laws and regulations have been suspended for the week. All ships docked in California ports are going to use the power generated on the ship rather than plug into our electrical system. Normally, the ships are not allowed to idle out in the ocean, belching out their polluted waste, their exhaust. Now they've changed that. They have to plug into our electrical system, but we're short of electricity. So docking boats can't plug into our electrical system. That's how short we are. You might think that, well, wait a second, boats docking? I mean, how many of those could there be? How much electricity could they use compared to, 40 million people in the state? That's how bad it is. And so he has spent the whole week looking at how many executive order provisions he can put into effect because of the desperate situation with the electricity. Now, he gives you happy talk about how they're passing goals and they're passing regulations. So in 2045, we're going to be carbon neutral and all green and this and that. And it's a load of hooey. It's to appease the religious fanatics. I don't know how much of this crap he believes himself, but he does know the religious fanatics are the main drivers in his party. They provide a lot of the money donations, the volunteer efforts. They could back another candidate, for example, in a primary to sink him. And you end up, and both parties have to deal with this, you have to deal with the fanatics. And the fanatics, by definition, are not rational people, and you shouldn't be following their policies, because they have been hysterical and wrong on so many things in the state of California. We've talked often about the bad policies that have led to these fires in the forests to get out of control. What they see, because they had rolling blackouts in 2020, and the state has put out an estimated 4,000 megawatts on the grid that were not available back then. And that is true, because we used to have, I remember, a total of about 50,000 megawatts available. And now we've got almost 53,000, and then there's these reserves, which are somehow, maybe those would take time to access, but that brings the total capacity in a worst case to 56,000. So they've it has not been wind and solar energy that's been added here. It has been natural gas. It is nuclear, with this plant being kept open for another 5 years. And the thing is, he's getting near unanimous votes in the legislature to keep all this stuff going. Although some are upset with Newsom for rolling back his own policies, but like Cal ISO may come up to 3,000 megawatts short during much of next week. That's the danger. That's why they're insisting, cajoling you to do this flex time nonsense and unplug everything. Because if people don't, and we blow over the limit by 3,000 megawatts, that's electricity for roughly 2 million homes, which potentially could be 6-8 million people would be out of power. And that could create a domino effect where you end up with many more millions out of power. There is one environmental group leader named Heather Barnes saying Newsom is going right back against what he'd promoted in the first place. He originally wanted more environmental regulations, but faced with some hardship based on these same policies he made, he rolls back on them, even if only for a short time. He's partially responsible for getting the state to this point in the first place. And now he's approved the order to undo some of the damage. It's crazy. He demonized fossil fuels so much and praised environmental regulations. Now look what he needs to do to stave off disaster. Get rid of these regulations and give fossil fuel plants more leeway for electricity generation. Heather Barnes says we should be happy that he wants to take a few steps back on some of this, but he's only doing it for an emergency and to save his own skin. He's looking for a presidential run, right? Well, let's just say the state is going dark because he went too far on his own policies, and that would not play during the primaries. So these temporary rollbacks are going to end on September 7th when the heat wave is going to recede. But if the heat wave continues or we get another heat wave, which is very possible in September and even into October. So understand that he put these ideas into effect simply because those were the demands of the extremists that rule his party. But then he hit the reality wall and he has to undo them. And because he knows this just doesn't play. You can't run on blackouts. No one's going to get elected president. I mean, Gray Davis got recalled as governor because of the blackouts back in 2001. And I looked up today, because I don't like to make sweeping statements, but I can't find any other states with this problem. I looked up, I Googled state names, every possible variation on phrases related to electricity shortage, power shortage, blackouts, this, that, and the other thing. Texas occasionally has had problems, but because of the same reason, they went too heavily on solar and wind. The other 48 states don't have any problems. They have local power outages and blackouts because the local power companies screwed something up. Or there's lightning strikes. You know, there's the ordinary day-to-day challenges. But nobody else is having the policy issues here where bad policy is producing blackouts. That is right now singular to California. So if you have the only state in the union that is having severe blackout risks, is being run by the guy who wants to be the next president? These are terrible decisions. The Republican governors in Texas made similar bad decisions as well. And they had a big energy problem, if you remember, a couple of winters ago. These are bad ideas, no matter where they come from. And Newsom knows this now. John and Ken show. Ken is away today. Coming up in the next segment, Deborah, you're going to want to, well, this is a sad story about a young girl and her baby goat.
Aww.
And
a baby goat?
A baby goat that was taken to slaughter and playing a prominent role, and she didn't want the goat slaughtered. The goat was slaughtered against her will. And playing a prominent role in this story is the current Republican gubernatorial candidate, Brian Dolley. He was partly responsible for the death.
Really?
Yes. So we've got a... you'll be very upset about this, but it's
a
true story.
I can't wait to hear this one.
It's a true story. It's a really strange story. It's easy to follow, but I had to read it twice because it was hard for me to believe. Thank you. A couple of rounds of the Moist Line coming up next hour, too. Now, they've got a story here. One of the things that drive me crazy is when politicians or activists or media people have these catchphrases these one-line solutions. And you constantly about how, you know, we need more money spent on mental health counselors. We just passed
Period,
a bill.
Stop.
Yes, we need to have a program to provide mental health counseling. That's what's going to solve the homeless crisis. That's what's going to help all the prisoners when they're released is mental health counseling. And there's all kinds of little snappy one-line concepts that they float. And I have wondered for a long time, where are all these counselors? I mean, do they have a counselor factory somewhere? There's not that many people interested in doing the work. The work is not fun because you're dealing with crazy prisoners, crazy homeless people, crazy students. It doesn't pay very well. And there's kind of no end to it because when somebody has, you know, emotional disturbances or brain disorders or whatever, bad childhoods, drug problems, they kind of have those problems forever in many cases. I mean, I think we all learn when you hit a certain point in life, there's no changing people. The crazy people you knew 20 years ago or 40 years ago are the same crazy people today. Finally, I saw a story today in the El Segundo Times, which confirmed this. And it talks about a boy. I'm not going to mention his name, but, you know, his father was sick for a long time, and his mother had to work a lot, and then you had COVID and the schools closing, and he needed some mental health counseling through the school. But now, 3 years later, he still never met with a mental health counselor. In fact, the whole state of California lacks the ability to deliver mental health counseling in schools. People talk about it. Sometimes you'll hear, like, the day after a school shooting, mental health counselors were sent. Well, maybe a one-shot emergency like that. But on a day-to-day basis, dealing with life, there's nothing there. In fact, California ranks in the bottom five nationally in the number of counselors working in the schools. And you know we have spent enormous amounts of tax money in recent years, record amounts of money. Taxes are at their highest point ever. Huge windfalls from the federal government during COVID. Huge windfalls from all the wealthy people in California who had great capital gains tax returns, right? They made so much money on their tech stocks. You sell your tech stocks and you have to pay a capital gains on it. And so they've literally had more money than they know what to do with. Well, they never spent it on mental health counseling. All goes to the teachers, you know. And it says here, while there's a massive influx, this is the Times admitting, a massive influx of state dollars and pandemic relief funds available to build mental health programs and hire social workers and counselors, the labor force is simply not available. And there's no quick fixes. You simply don't have many adults who want to do this kind of work. So it doesn't matter, even if they do have the funds, even if it is budgeted, nobody shows up to apply for the jobs because, again, who wants to do it? Bad pay, really stressful. A lot of times, nothing works. I mean, a lot of therapy and psychiatry don't work. What they end up doing in a lot of cases is just throwing pills at people. One LA Unified counselor says, her name's Belinda Barrigan, "We're bombarded. And the community agencies are also overwhelmed." I started figuring this out some years ago when there was this run of stories about, you know, little kids in LA County who were severely beaten and abused by their mothers and their mothers' boyfriends. You know those stories. We've covered all of them in detail. And there were all these counselors that didn't show up, didn't care, didn't take the children out of the home, all the basic things you think they do. And part of the reason was, well, their caseload is so heavy and they get burned out. Well, their caseload is heavy because nobody wants to do those jobs. That's why the caseload is heavy. I mean, these places are mismanaged. And a lot of these people get jaded and burned out and stop caring about the kids. So you know that locking down the schools not only destroyed their education for many children, also destroyed their mental stability. The rates of anxiety and depression among children has shot up 70% between 2016 and 2020. Suicide rates among California youths increased by 20% in 2020. Good work closing the schools down, huh? Yeah, you saved lives. Excellent. All the kids who have trouble learning in school ended up having even more trouble learning in school. So LA Unified, for this past school year, set aside $177 million. They were going to hire 900 social workers and mental health workers. A year later, only one-third of the workers had been hired. The superintendent, Alberto Carvalho, said the move was a lofty idea that was never going to succeed. I think we knew at the time there'd be little opportunity of filling those positions. So you get a big headline by saying, well, we're finally going to spend $177 million and we're going to have 900 social workers and we're going to address all the emotional problems caused by the lockdowns, you know, due to the overreaction over the pandemic and just the cruelty on the part of the teachers not showing up for work for a year and a half, right? We'll have mental health counseling, you know, we'll be able to work out the problem. No, they didn't. Nobody even showed up to apply for the job. Two-thirds of the openings are still there. Newsom announced the state's going to spend almost $5 billion to improve mental health for young people after decades of neglect. Well, where are you going to get the people for those jobs? He says the system has self-evidently failed and continues to fail. We have a lot of work to do to turn around. That's not going to happen overnight. Of course it's going to fail. The government can't be a mental health counselor for every single child in the state. It's up to the parents to raise their kids and keep them mentally healthy and stable. Part of that is not closing the schools for a year and a half, not allowing the schools to be closed, not overreacting and not panicking to a virus that barely harmed any children in the entire state. When we come back, this young girl, all she wanted is to keep her baby goat alive, but it got slaughtered. And the current Republican candidate for governor has a major role in this story. Shocking but true. Coming up after 5 o'clock, we're going to talk more about the Flex Alert, the energy shortage, and more from Michael Schellenberger, things that he's written as to practically why the wind and solar energy is not going to work for us. And it's already not working. But there's hard, concrete reasons here. It's not opinion. It's just the way physics works, and we'll get to that. Are you ready, Deborah?
Who, me? No, yes. I can't hear you. There's something going on with my headphones, so I won't be able to hear the story. So, sorry.
You can't.
I'm just kidding. Yes, I'm ready. Well, ready to be depressed.
No, I'm not here to torture you. It's just it was a big story today in a Sacramento Bee.
You're always torturing me.
Well, it's about Cedar the goat. Cedar the goat was sold in June at the Shasta County Livestock Auction. This was the county fair. But the family that owned the goat, the little girl who owned the goat, Jessica Long, had second thoughts, and they wanted the goat back, and they were offering to pay for any losses to keep the animal from being slaughtered.
Okay.
And so the way the story goes, in April, Jessica Long's family bought a four-month-old goat and took it to their home in Shasta County. And Jessica's daughter named it Cedar. And the girl started feeding for it and carrying it, bonding with it the way you would bond with a puppy. The little girl was enrolled in the local 4-H chapter program. You know, they have it for young people. And so she took Cedar See, there is a white goat with chocolate markings to be exhibited at the Shasta County Fair, the livestock auction. But you know what that means when you auction off livestock?
Yes.
Whoever claims it is going to kill it and eat it. Before the auction began, the family tried to back out because the little girl wanted to keep the goat.
That's fair.
Somehow, I don't know if she didn't realize exactly what was happening here. But
I'm sure she didn't realize.
And at that moment, you know, the auction was going on. Well, I guess, you know, they made the request before the auction started, but the fair officials refused.
What?
They said, no, you've already submitted Cedar the goat.
Okay.
And he's going up for auction. And they said, look, we'll pay to get him back. No. You know, who bid for it was someone representing State Senator Brian Dolley, who is the Republican candidate for governor. Now, nobody knows him because, as far as I know, he's never campaigned in Southern California. He's never come on our show. He does exist. He is a legislator up there, but the campaign, I don't know, maybe he just wanted his name in the history books that he ran for governor. But he's not actually acting in any way like he wants to win. But anyway, his rep paid $902 for Cedar's meat.
Who eats goat?
Well, people do.
I like lamb.
Of course you do.
So after the auction, the little girl realized that Cedar was going to get the big chop. She would not leave Cedar's side.
Oh, John.
They have filed a lawsuit, federal lawsuit. And in the lawsuit, it said she loved Cedar, and the thought of him going to slaughter was something she could not bear. She was sobbing in his pen, standing beside him.
Stop.
I'm reading from the lawsuit here. And she told her mother she didn't want Cedar to go to slaughter. And they actually have a picture of Cedar the goat before the animal was seized.
I can't believe, I can't believe that this little girl was not given back her goat. And I'm a little confused. Didn't the parents explain to her what was going to happen? Something is missing here.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what happened is before Cedar could be killed, the family decided to take Cedar away. They grabbed Cedar and they took the goat to a farm in Sonoma County. They were hiding the goat.
Oh, I love it.
Because the mother was afraid that everybody in the neighborhood was going to be upset because they take their goat auction seriously up there and they take the 4-H program for the kids seriously. And to them, there's no emotional issues here. It's like you raise the goat to slaughter it, to eat it, and the 4-H program teaches you how to care for the goat. And then, you know, we have the auction, somebody pays money, and...
But honestly, maybe I'm really naive, or ignorant, or both, but I didn't know that people really slaughter goats to eat their meat.
Here's how serious it is. According to the lawsuit, plaintiffs live in an agricultural community, and they feared that deviating from the 4-H program by resisting the slaughter would upset other 4-H members and community members.
Yeah, rules are rules.
You know, rules are meant to be broken.
So it gets even better. So the livestock director at the fair, B.J. McFarlane, called Long and threatened Mom with a grand theft charge if Cedar was not returned.
Oh, my God.
Long was desperate. She continued to offer to cover any losses and reached out to Brian Dolley's office, right?
Yes.
The state senator for help.
Right.
And Senator Dolley's people said, well, we're not going to resist your efforts to save Cedar from slaughter. In other words, if you want to save Cedar, we're not going to get in the way. But it looks like they didn't do anything to help. Long wrote a letter trying to get them to understand as human beings. Her daughter was heartbroken, didn't want Cedar killed. Three of her grandparents had died in the last year. She was already shook up. But despite all that, the fair officials and B.J. McFarland called the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. According to the lawsuit, two sheriff's deputies left their jurisdiction in Shasta County, drove over 500 miles at taxpayer expense.
This is obscene and absurd. Oh, come on.
Crossed six county lines and confiscated the young girl's beloved pet goat, Cedar, after she decided not to auction him. Cedar was her property. She had every right to save her life. But Cedar has been slaughtered.
No!
Mm-hmm.
You know, this gets me so mad. This is so ridiculous. I don't even know what to say.
I don't know how Brian Dolly runs for governor now.
Well, I'm not going to talk about the political ramifications because I'm a news person.
Right.
So I'm going to have to, you know, refrain myself there.
But somebody's not getting your vote. he was 82 pounds. He sold for $11 a pound for a total of $902. And
this is so sad. I'm so upset, John.
I know. I understand.
This is not how I wanted to end my work day.
This is not how you wanted to head into the holiday weekend?
No.
11 bucks
not.
A pound is cheap.
Is it?
It's a goat.
For goat meat?
Again, who eats goat meat? I really.
Apparently, South Asian and Caribbean cuisine has a lot of goat meat.
Isn't a lot of Middle Eastern.
And Middle Eastern, yeah.
Yeah, too. Middle Eastern, sure.
Wow.
But apparently, goat meat can range from $13.63 to $18.24 per pound. So $11 per pound is pretty cheap.
It's a good deal there.
And you know what? I don't understand. Here's this little girl and her family. They're desperately trying to keep this baby goat. They're going so far as to do all the different things that they were trying to do. You couldn't let this goat slide?
I'm just thinking of all the people who call up the police and sheriff's deputies.
So stupid.
When there's real crime happening.
Exactly.
Homeless people are screaming on their front lawns, waving machetes, and you can't get anybody to come. But the stolen goat.
Yeah, that will get somebody.
500 miles they drove. All right. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's very sad.
It's not funny at all. It is very sad.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.